It doesn't happen very often that a brand new weapon system just walks out onto a stage in front of a crowd, fully named, with an official fact sheet to back it up. Usually these things leak, a grainy photo under a wing, a line item in a budget document that somebody sharp catches at 3 in the morning. That's the normal rhythm this week. The United States Navy skipped all of that. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Tower, and you're listening to ATIS. Today we're talking about a missile. Most people had never heard of until about 24 hours ago, and why the Navy decided the moment had come to stop keeping it quiet. Here's what you need to know. On August 22nd, at the Tailhook Symposium in Reno, Nevada, the Navy publicly revealed a next-generation air-to-air missile. Its designation is the AIM-424. Its name is MALIS. And the letters after it, LARAM, stand for Long Range Air-to-Air Missile. That last part is the whole story right there. Long range. Because range lately has been the thing keeping a lot of planners up at night, the reveal was first reported by Aviation Week, and then the weapon turned up on the Navy's own official fact sheet, which is about as clear a signal as you get that this is no longer a secret anybody's trying to protect. When the fact sheet goes public, the conversation has officially started. Before we go further, let me tell you who's keeping the lights on today. Today's aviation news is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Now, let's talk about why a missile gets a name like MALIS and why the Navy wanted you to know about it. To understand the AIM-424, you have to understand the problem it was built to solve, and the problem is distance. For decades, the workhorse of American air-to-air combat has been the AIM-120 AMRAAM. That's the Advanced Medium Range Air-to-Air Missile, and the word in the middle is the one that matters. Medium, it is a superb weapon. It has been the standard for a generation of fighter pilots, but it was designed for a world where medium range was enough. That world has been changing. Potential adversaries have spent the last decade fielding air-to-air missiles that reach out further and further. You may have heard of the PL-15, a Chinese long-range missile that has genuinely rewritten the math on how far apart two fighters can be when the shooting starts. And there's talk of an even longer-reaching weapon behind it. The concern inside the Navy and the Air Force has been straightforward and uncomfortable. What happens when the other side can shoot first from farther away at the aircraft you can least afford to lose? And that's the second piece of this. It isn't just about fighter versus fighter. The headline doesn't tell the whole story here. A long-range air-to-air missile isn't primarily about winning a knife fight. It's about holding at risk the big, slow, enormously valuable airplanes that make modern air power actually work. The tankers, the airborne early warning aircraft, the ones with the big radar disc on top that see everything. The command and control platforms, take those away, and a fighter force goes deaf, blind, and thirsty very quickly. A missile that can reach out and threaten those aircraft from a great distance changes the entire geometry of a fight before the first fighter ever merges. So when the Navy names something MALIS and puts the words long range on it, they are telling you exactly what job it's built for. It's built to reach. Now, let me flag this next part clearly as informed analysis. Not official confirmation, because the fact sheet is deliberately thin on the hard numbers. The Navy did not stand up in Reno and read out the missile's exact range, its speed, or its seeker details. They wouldn't. Those are the numbers you protect most carefully of all. So anything you hear this week putting a precise figure on how far MALIS flies is somebody's estimate, and you should treat it that way. What we can talk about with confidence is the context. The AIM-424 is not arriving in a vacuum. The Navy has already been fielding a stopgap for this exact problem. You may have heard of the AIM-174. That's essentially the SM-6, a large surface-to-air interceptor adapted to be carried and launched from a Super Hornet. It is a big missile. It gave the fleet a genuine long reach in a hurry, and it was, by most honest readings, an interim answer. A way to buy range fast while the real purpose-built weapon matured in the background. The AIM-424 appears to be that real answer. A missile designed from the start to be an air-to-air weapon rather than a ship's missile pressed into a new role. Purpose-built tends to mean better integrated, more efficient in the way it uses its own volume, and more suited to the aircraft carrying it. And that raises the question every fighter pilot asks first. What carries it? The obvious candidates are the aircraft already at the center of naval aviation. The F/A-18 Super Hornet, the F-35, in its various forms. And when you talk about a missile meant to reach a very long way, you're also implicitly talking about how it gets targeting information from that far out. Because no fighter's own radar sees to the edge of a missile like this on its own. That means data links. That means other sensors passing the picture forward. A long-range shot is a team sport, and the missile is only the last fastest member of the team. This affects you if you follow where naval aviation spending and doctrine are heading over the next several years, because a purpose-built long-range missile signals a real commitment to fighting at distance, and everything from aircraft upgrades to sensor programs tends to line up behind a decision like that. Let me step back for a moment and talk about why the Navy chose to reveal this the way it did, because that's its own kind of message. There's a school of thought that says you keep your best cards face down. Never show the adversary what you have. And for the deepest technical details, that still holds. But there's another school of thought, and it's been gaining ground, that says deterrence only works if the other side actually knows the capability exists. A weapon nobody knows about deters nobody. So there's a deliberate act here. Reveal that the capability is real. Reveal the name. Reveal enough to make a planner on the other side of the world recalculate. Hold back the numbers that would let them build a counter. That's what a public fact sheet and a stage at Tailhook accomplish. It's not carelessness, it's a decision. And I want to be careful and fair here, because this is where these stories usually go off the rails. This is a defensive and deterrent development in a well-understood category of weapon. It is not whatever the more excitable corners of the internet may tell you this week. Some exotic leap into the unknown. It is the American answer to a range gap that has been openly discussed by serious people for years. The Navy identified a problem. They fielded a fast interim fix. Now they're revealing the permanent one. That is, honestly, the system working the way it's supposed to work. Now I run a show for pilots, and most of you listening are not strapping into a Super Hornet this afternoon. So let me connect this to the world you and I actually fly in, because there is a thread here worth pulling. The first thread is technology. And the way it always eventually comes downhill. Think about where your everyday flying gear came from. The global positioning system in your panel was a military constellation first. The data link thinking behind modern traffic and weather uplinks has military DNA. The materials, the guidance, the miniaturized electronics that make a modern missile seeker work are the same broad currents of engineering that, 10 and 20 years on, show up in avionics you can actually buy. When you watch a program like this, you're watching one of the places where the state of the art gets pushed, and the state of the art doesn't stay locked in a hangar forever. The second thread is airspace, and this one's more immediate. A weapon built to be tested at very long range needs very large blocks of sky to be tested in. That means the special use airspace, the military operating areas, the restricted areas and the warning areas offshore are only going to get busier and more active in the years ahead. If your cross-countries take you anywhere near a large restricted area or an offshore warning area, this is your reminder to actually check whether it's hot before you plan a route through or under it. Get the real status. Call the controlling agency or ask on a flight following frequency. The chart tells you the airspace exists. It doesn't tell you what's happening inside it today. That's on you to find out. And the third thread is just perspective. We spend a lot of time on this show on the small stuff. The fuel reserves, the crosswind technique, the weather you can actually see out the window. That's the right focus, because that's the flying that keeps us alive. But every so often, it's worth lifting your eyes and remembering the sheer breadth of what happens under this same sky, the same airspace system that sequences you into a quiet class Delta on a Saturday morning. Is the one that, somewhere out over the water, is clearing a crew to test a missile named Malice. It's all aviation. It's all one enormous interlocking thing. And that's part of what makes it worth loving. So here's where this stands. The Navy has revealed the AIM-424 Malice, a purpose-built long-range air-to-air missile, at Tailhook, on an official fact sheet, in full public view. The hard performance numbers remain, as they should, behind the curtain. What's out in the open is the intent. Reach farther. Hold the high-value targets at risk. Close the range gap that's been worrying planners for years. Watch this one. The interesting part won't be the reveal. It'll be which aircraft, which sensors, and which doctrine grow up around it in the seasons ahead. My thanks to The Aviationist and to Aviation Week, who reported this first, for the reporting behind today's segment. You can always find us at radiohanger.com. That's the picture from up here. Fly the airplane, know your airspace, and I'll see you on the next one.